how busy are our Leafs going to be this off season? I mean, they got a little bit of a start. Look, anytime you can get rid of Carl Gunnarsson, I think your off season's probably a success. So I'm ready to stop it right now and say drop the puck. But how busy do you think these guys will be other than getting rid of Carl?
Well, I mean, you can argue all 30 teams will be busy, but getting results is a whole different matter. Yeah, it's funny. Gunnarsson was the guy from the Marlies. I mean, you had Anton Stralman from the Marlies went elsewhere. You had Jay Harrison went elsewhere to play in the NHL. And Gunnarsson just seemed to see as a window of opportunity. And then he got the contract. Like, he was the only guy under contract coming into the season beyond this year. And even though his plus-minus was pretty good, it just... he seemed to be soft and have a lot more faux pas. So I like that move. Right-handed shot, a little more grittier defenseman, and Ryan Romopala come the other way. I just think, unlike, you know, last year where there was the Bernier trade, the Boland trade, and also signing Clarkson as an unrestricted free agent, a lot of things happen. And, you know, they're hard up against the cap, Jeff. I mean, they're trying to keep Boland and trying to figure out a way to make it work in the cap. So it's not like they have a lot of things to do. So I don't expect a ton of moves.
Well, if you look at their unrestricted free agents, James Reimer, he wants out. You've got Nikolai Kuhlman, Boland, Mason Raymond, Jay McClement, Troy Bodie, and Paul Ranger. You're right. I mean, Dave Boland appears to be the focus of much of their effort. I've got to think there's interest in retaining Mason Raymond. I'd like to see them retain Jay McClement, but, I mean, as I look at that list and I look at where they are against the salary cap, it really is. It's going to take a lot of work to get anybody other than Boland back in here.
Yeah, you're talking about a team that didn't make the playoffs and having difficulty maintaining existing players, and not star players, just, you know, to be status quo. That's not a good predicament. I mean, that's, you know, and it just seems like teams right away are, by and large, spent against the cap. I mean, they're their own worst enemies, and you get yourself in a pickle, particularly when, you know, a Clarkson contract doesn't work out so well the first year and, you know, other things like that. But, yeah, it's like those names don't make you do cartwheels. But, you know, a guy like Mason Raymond, he's been through it last year. Those guys, because of the cap, are the, well, I call it the Dominic Moore syndrome. You know, good on Dominic Moore. Every year he's had to go somewhere basically to prove himself and, you know, can't get a multi-year contract, but is a contributor in the National Hockey League. And it's just the way of the world nowadays. They got to wait and they got to figure out if there's enough shekels for them.
If we operate under the assumption that, and take Brendan Shanahan and Dave Nonis at their word, that Roman Polak will be the number four, number five defenseman, that they do expect Petter Granberg and Stuart Percy to compete for a job. If you throw Josh Georges into that mix, and I want to talk to you about him in a minute, but just all that combined, does that make a better defense pairing? a better defense core than they had last year?
Yeah, it does. It does. And again, it's not just defense, it's team defense as well.
Sure.
I thought there was a big breakdown in that when, you know, things went south that way. But, you know, I liked, you know, it's funny, I liked Leeson when he came over too. There's this element on paper, it should be better. And you hope with Gardner and Riley maturing on that, it should be better. Because I really like those guys as far as the future goes. But it was... you know, just too many shots on goal, too many scoring chances on goal, and whether Josh Georges is there or not, it should be better. But also, by not letting Randy Carlyle keep Dave Ferris as his right-hand guy, he's sort of fallen on the sword about the defensive woe. So it's Randy Carlyle won a Norris Trophy, so I believe he focuses on the defensive end when he coaches. You know, but yet it just seems over the summer magically an assistant coach can make a difference, which I think Randy focused on that pretty well.
We're joined by Gord Stellick on the Jeff Blair Show. Should mention, by the way, that Don Cherry will join Hockey Central in studio at noon, along with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. They will have a special announcement, and that will begin a frantic period of hockey coverage on Sportsnet. Brady and Walker will get it going tomorrow morning on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, they'll be on the air from 8 to 11 with special free agent deadline day coverage, and then at 11 a.m., Hockey Central on Sportsnet will take over. And they will walk you through as free agent frenzy begins tomorrow. Gord, this story that's out there about Josh Georges, it makes sense that the Maple Leafs would have interest in Josh Georges. He's apparently got a no-trade clause that eliminates 15 teams, one of those being the Leafs, from consideration. I got to ask you this. I know the Leafs don't have the coin to get Jason Spezza, but should we at all be concerned that guys like Jason Spezza and Josh Georges have Toronto on a no trade clause? It seems to me are on their no trade list. It seems to me that that almost undoes or seems to suggest that a lot of the work Tim Lewicki, Dave Nonis, and to a certain degree Brandon Shanahan, although he hasn't been here that long, are doing, that a lot of that work really hasn't it hasn't succeeded in changing the sort of the general opinion of the Leafs.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly doesn't resonate that well, does it? First of all, my always answer is, I get a little pissed off and I kind of go, well, if they don't want to be here, screw them, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, who wants, if you want to go be like Nathan Horton and play in Columbus rather than Boston, for example, I'm not dumping on a guy. Just, you know, we grow up and we think, oh, we'd want to be front and center and we don't face the pressure all the time. But to be Canadian kids that don't want to play in Toronto baffles me. I do think that if I'm getting a contract and once you open the door and give other guys limited no trades, of course, you're going to try to get it yourself. And you can always waive it to go somewhere, so you're probably just protecting yourself. And if you're looking at it, the Leafs don't get in the playoffs. And being a winning organization, if you're going to get traded somewhere, is a big priority. So I think that might be it, more of a safeguard, I would hope, rather than everyone saying, I don't want to go to Toronto because I think they're a joke.
It's probably
Canadian kids.
Well, as far as that goes, it's probably no surprise that James Reimer wants out, is it? I mean, I would hardly qualify that as a newsflash. I think we were sort of left with that feeling the second that James Reimer flashed that look at Randy Carlisle during that game when he was taken out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, those looks do happen, and now we catch them in all sports when someone goes to the sideline in a moment of whatever you want to call it. But I think it goes back almost to the Bernier trade in many ways, that the guys were pretty equal at the start, but you always knew it was going to be Bernier's job to win. And we've talked about it many times, Jeff, and if anyone could walk away from a Toronto Maple Leaf situation and be pretty proud of what he did, James Reimer's one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, goaltender after goaltender, highly touted goaltender, whatever it may be, didn't do the job, and this guy came up with it because there were injuries, and when you really needed it, he played really well and was a huge factor in them getting in the playoffs in the lockout shortened season. So, you know, at the end of the day, to win a cup, is he a number one goaltender? And I think the jury says no, and that's not unfair. But yeah, I mean, the next problem is he's being a restricted free agent of that is, it's not like there's a market for him as a number one. I think a lot of people thought, okay, let him, like Bernier did last year, let him go somewhere else and be a number one. But Bernier, there was a market to be a number one, and it doesn't appear there's that for Reimer.
Yeah, it's remarkable when you consider that this is a guy who was in goal when the Leafs finally made the playoffs. And at one point was a really popular guy in this city. And man, it just seems as if it's kind of an odd way. In some ways, an unsatisfactory, and I'll rephrase it. It's an unsatisfying way, I think, for his career with the Leafs to end, because I think in a lot of ways, James Reimer had a lot to do with the apparent stabilization of this franchise.
Absolutely, and I think he got a bit of the Larry Murphy syndrome or whatever.
Yes.
That unfairly, he was the single guy vilified. It was easy. We like a tiny bow just to dump on somebody. And at the end, then when he got hurt at the end last year, the team kept losing. So that was almost the best thing, that Bernier came back or whatever it may be, and, you know, Reimer wasn't playing. But I thought it was really unfair. I thought, you know, there's a lot of other guys that are full of it. If they say they didn't like the booing or criticism, they certainly earned it. But in the case of Reimer, I like what he did. Class act, class kid. The best somewhere else, but now right now they got to find out. I think people's opinion, what you're going to get in return for them, were greatly inflated.
Gord Stellick joins us in the Jeff Blair Show. Before we let you go, Gord, Martin Brodeur, the possibility of him joining the Toronto Maple Leafs. How do you feel about that? If you're going to have a backup to Jonathan Bernier, or you want a veteran guy who's capable of being that sort of that soft shoulder for a younger guy still trying to establish himself in the NHL, he could probably do worse than Marty Brodeur.
Well, no question. I just don't get it. I don't like. I know Brendan Shanahan, and obviously there's an allure there from the respect and friendship they have. But you know, last year Marty Brodeur showed it. He's not willing to really quietly go in the sunset. I mean, he's a competitor, and it wasn't a good situation with Corey Schneider. We've talked about it many times that you know Marty Brodeur likes to play 70 games and have a Johan Hedberg type play about a dozen. And that's what he's done for like 20 years.
You don't think he's sort of, I don't want to say seen the light, but you don't think that it would be so clear to him what was happening here that he wouldn't adapt?
Well, I would hope so this time. I mean, last time the Corey Schneider trade caught him a bit by surprise. So probably a valid point there that this would be one that would he would have done the orchestrating. And you know, so I mean, it's almost just when you talked about Josh Georges, there's an element of symbolism if Marty Brodeur is willing to come to Toronto. That says a lot. It's like years ago when Steve Stavrou didn't have the money for Wayne Gretzky in 1996 and told him to go elsewhere. Didn't really understand. Well, he didn't have the money, but that if Gretzky came to Toronto, what a huge, huge symbol that was and validation of where the franchise is going the right way. So I can see that part about Marty Brodeur. I just think... To me, I think, first of all, he's looking for a spot that he could play for, I think, and get him to come and, you know, not make a lot of do-re-mi. It'd be very different than what he's made the last couple of years. That would be great. I just can't see it fitting.